Evidently, I couldn't, right? So, you know. But it's like that sometimes, right? Like, we want it our way. We want it how we want it, when we want it, right? So, I know y'all can figure that out. This is an interlude while I'm getting myself together here. Anyway, I see that a lot, different things. My girls, they the toughest ones. I don't know about you guys. But and in the book, this guy, he's talking about his kids or something, or when he was younger. But I see that my kids now, like, they battling. Who going to sit where? It's a thing with us. Logan always wants to sit next to me. And so she gets down, and she kind of spreads herself out so nobody else can sit with her till I come. So, you know. But then Jessica's like, well, I want to sit with Daddy. So anyway, it's a little battle there. They always got to go through their thing. Right? Yeah, so anyway, like we always got this battle of what we want, how we want it, and believe it or not, comes in the church too, right? I think I got enough. I want you guys to do something for me. Got to excuse my little bag. Just consider that the money bag. I made just enough, so whoever else comes in, right, four. I'm going to give John one, too. I think I got one. So anyway, just reach in and take a little ticket. Just hold on to it. It's just enough. It's strategic. Just, you know. I had a joke for y'all, but I forgot it, so sorry. Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. If I forget, I thought this would be good. Look. Now, Margaret's not here. Sister Margaret's not here. You acting just like her. She all, like, skeptical. She's looking in the bag like, what am I getting myself into? Don't worry. It's all part of the plot. And y'all got me started early, so I promise I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to try. I'll tell you. Okay. Right? Is just one left? Okay. It's only one left. I got more, but it'll be for the next crowd. I'm just going to pass them out. All right. So I mentioned everybody that, trying to have it their way and all that. We're gonna go real quick. So we're doing chapter 3, right? Chapter 3. Oh, I do have a little handout. Chapter 3 is talking about I will not let my church be about my preference and desires. And I added to it, it's not about me. So who has the gold ticket?
Bingo!
You know what? It's ironic that it would be him. Because this is a dude who came in working. Right? So guess what? It says MVP, right? Everybody else says VIP. So all of y'all VIPs. But he got the MVP ticket. Why? Because your job, Aaron, you got to go outside and open the door, just let everybody in. That's your prize. That's your prize. Well, you don't have to go right now. But I'm doing that to say, you got your Bible on you? Find that scripture that's on there for me. I'm doing that to say, I think I'm working out of what is this Bible I got here this time? This is my life application study Bible. So, yeah, you can do either one. Doesn't matter. So, anyway, we VIPs. Everybody want to be a VIP, right? VIP, whether we like it or not, or whether we say we want it or not, it's a status quo. We want to be treated like that. We want things our way. We want to come in and say, you know what? I like this, this, and this. This is the way I want things to flow. So, you know, why can't it be, pretty much? But in the kingdom, the MVP gets all the clout. Here you go. That's your ticket. That's your ticket. But it's too late because y'all late, so y'all missed what I was trying to say anyway. But I'll tell you this, y'all VIPs. Yeah. VIPs. Yeah, they did. They did. They got me on deck because they know how I am, so they got me on deck early. You got an extra one? All right, excuse my outline because I was here you go. Typing quick. Oops. All right, so I passed out tickets. You guys got VIPs, so you are VIPs. You are VIPs. But Aaron got the MVP, the gold ticket. Oops, sorry. So, I was going to make something up with that most valuable parishioner or something like that, but it wasn't flowing. So the world says, if you see it right there, right, which we already talked about, me, 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 that's the world. Whether we intentionally do it or not, it's all about us. And this is the way the world is, right? If first, I've got to be first, I want to be first, or even if we doesn't, it feels good when you are first or important or that VIP. And sometimes we like to throw around our rights and our entitlement, our status, right? I thought about young Jordan, and I watched him grow. I watched him grow. Not in height, even though he's a tall dude now, and I usually hit him in the knee right back here just to make him do that a little bit. I say, see? You know, or if he's over here, I stand up here. So he's growing in height. But what I notice most about him is his character growth. And I say that because he's the pastor's son. And it was a time where he wore that on his sleeve. Some of us know that have been, right, that dealt with the kids. You know, he wore that on his sleeve. He disappeared. I don't have to be here. I'm going downstairs. I had to jack him up a couple of times. But he's grown in that regard. And that's sort of where he's coming from with this particular chapter, that not only coming in with a particular status, but coming in or how you think things should be. Or we do it everywhere we go. I don't know. Like I said, I went to McDonald's. But right away, I'm going in there like, they don't have enough people working up here. Where's this? Where's that? They got this new, I don't know about up here in Philly, but they have that new pick yourself thing. I don't want that. They do it all the time to me. Oh, did you try the kiosk? Like, it's so cool. Did you try the kiosk? You can order your stuff right there and you'll get it. Like, no, I want you to take my order and have it my way. But we don't always get it like that, right? So the golden ticket. I told you, he got the golden ticket, which means he's the MVP, which means his job, his task, his reward for that is to go outside and be the gatekeeper. Work, let people in the door. Hold the door open for people. Why'd I say that? Read that for me, and we'll see. And really, it goes the other way around. I picked you MVP. Really, your job has that serving makes you the MVP. That's why I said it was ironic that you were the one that picked it, because I know how you work in the church, for others especially. Go ahead. Awesome. I got to do this. I'm going to go. That was 9:35, right? So check this out. They were on their way, or they came to Capernaum, right? And they were arguing. Who's they? The disciples. They were arguing. We all know this. So they were arguing about who's going to be first. Who's going to be at the right hand? Who's going to be the main man to Jesus? Even though they all were walking with the man, in their mind it's like, okay, who's going to be walking with the man? And Jesus just puts them in a place real quick here. That's what I love about Jesus. He got that thing where he can put you where you need to be, but real calmly. And he just tell them, you want to be first? You got to be last. And serving to all. How heavy is that? So if we were having a key verse, that would be the key verse. But we're going to go a little bit. I'll have some. I'm going to have you guys read a little later. Another one I want to go over. And I only wrote down a few because we're going to get, you know me, I go a little bit over. So if you want to be first, you must be last. So the title again, I'm a church member. I will not let my church be about my preference or my desire. It's not about me. So what is it about? Servanthood, right? We can't, being a church member, we got to understand we're members of the one spirit, right? So we're members meaning body part members. Think about it like that. We all heard this. We're body part members, but there's one spirit that's got to flow through all of us, right? All of us, for us to work as one. And to do that, we work together. You know, like if I lift this up, I can't do it one hand. I need my other hand. They work together. They support each other. So I can't be about me, even though this is the main hand with the main emblem on it. Anyway, that was for my wife. Y'all got that? Okay, so the book says something called the servant motif, which basically is just the main theme, concept, or idea. So church members, we are called to servanthood. We just said that. Ephesians 3 and 7. And this is where I'm going to stray a little bit, guys, because I thought this was pretty good, a few things here. So without going, playing around and keep going, basically we got the idea right away that the church membership is not about us as individuals. It's about us serving one another. Right? We're called to servanthood, not only to Christ, but to each other. Right? Plain and simple, we know the word says, how can you serve me or worship me or even love me that you can't see, but you can't deal with the person that you can't see, your neighbor, your brother. And so first, it's got to be to each other, us that's in the church. So my little outline here is pretty simple. But I want to dive in a little bit, okay? So Paul writes to Ephesians, and Ephesians 3 and 7. I didn't write the scriptures out because I figured we'd flip to it and go to it, all right? I just got a few key things there for you to remember. So chapter 3, verse 7, Ephesians, says, I became a servant of his gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. I talked about grace before. We talked about grace before. Grace being that thing we didn't deserve that we got. Grace being the act of his sacrifice for us. So here Paul is saying, I became, because of that, he kind of said it kind of backwards. He said, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift. So by the gift of God's grace, and God's grace being the gospel story, God coming to the flesh in the form of Jesus to manifest that, to take on sin, to be the scapegoat, if you will, or the sacrificial blood sacrifice to pay the price for sin. Because the wages of sin is death. So he's saying because of that act of God that he did by his power, nothing I did, nothing we did, by God's grace, I'm saved. By God's grace, by this act he did, not only am I saved, now I'm servant to it. Why? Because now I'm in the fold. Jesus becomes my Lord. Pastor mentioned this, and we talked about this. Pastor was stepping all over everybody's, what everybody wanted to say, you know? And if we can understand that lordship that God has created through Jesus Christ, by way of his grace, all his power, nothing we did, That alone makes us servant. That's what Paul is saying here. It makes me servant to it because of his grace. Now, you catch that a little later, a little more. But I wanted to throw the beginnings out there. Because as church members, we're called to servanthood. And I wrote down there, it says, true joy means giving up your rights and preferences and serving everyone else. That's church membership. That's what church membership is all about. I'm going to read some of these survey results. And then I want to get into some scriptures. So if y'all don't have your phones off yet, I did that on purpose so y'all would know, turn off your phones, okay? Or turn them down. So the book touches on a few things which I didn't want to get into, but I just want to run through them since I do have a little time, so we're going to do this. And then I want to get into some other scriptures. So I didn't write it down there, but turn it Ephesians 4. It came right back on. I'm sorry. I thought I turned it off. Turn it down. Okay. Mine is titled here, Unity in the Body of Christ. So we understand, and I know we've been talking about church membership this whole time, different things. And this one is starting off talking about, it's not going to be about my preference or my desires. It's not about me. It's about servanthood. So right away we shift. So we're not even discussing our ids and isms that we want and desire. We know those. What we're saying is, as members, we got to be about servanthood and servanthood to each other, right? First, I would say, because you believe in God, yes, but right next to you is all the believers, right? All the body of believers. So anyway, I'm going to give you a little bit here. I thought this was pretty good. As a prisoner for the Lord, then. So this goes directly to what Paul just said in 3:7. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. So all about him, nothing I had to do with it, nothing we had to do with each other. Any of us had to do with it. It's all God's grace. And grace meaning, and I got to keep going back to the cross because that's where the sacrifice came from. Right? So just bear with me because we're going to get a little, I need you to understand that part and carry that with us. So Paul continues going on and saying, like, I'm not the greatest, but I do this because of what he done for me. That's why I preach the word, and I don't even know how I got that calling, that gift, that honor, because I'm nobody, but because of his grace, I have to serve. Because of what he did to me, for me, I can't help but be a servant. You understand what I'm saying? That's what he's saying there. So he starts off chapter 4, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord then. Then is continuing the sentence, right? Because of all that other chapter, because of what he did before. So now, being a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. Y'all got it? We're called to servanthood, right? We're called back to Jesus, but that call is of servanthood, right? Whether we want to acknowledge that or not, we're called to serve, right? So he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's all of us. We received it. We accepted the call that we heard when we heard the word. That caused us, as we believe, that caused a transformation, right? So now we're in Jesus' camp, to put it plainly. To put it as, you know, plain as I can. So, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Did y'all hear that? That's heavy. It's a little heavier than what it's reading because we can go over it so fast, right? He said, not only be humble and gentle, but be patient, bearing with one another in love, and this part, making every effort to keep the unity. The unity of what? The unity of the Spirit. The members, right? The body. Remember, I said we are all part, different limbs of the body. Everybody has a spirit. So we together, the body of believers, we house the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, right? So we have to, I'm going over it again because this is to me is a heavy part here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Right? So it can't be about me. It can't be about you. It can't be what you prefer. Would you rather be? When you think things aren't like or good enough, right? Although, I got to say this, and Pastor always talks about it. Sometimes if there's a area where you feel your hands can help, then that's where you're called to be. And you may be the piece that fixed that. You know what I'm saying? Rather than, oh, they ain't doing this right. That's not right. They need to be doing this, right? There's some things in here. I got to get to that stuff because y'all going to see what I'm saying. But I wanted to lay this down because this goes with the other part about us being about the servanthood. So, and we do that through the bond of peace, the bond, what we put, the bond. That's why Paul said, I'm serving, right? And it's almost like I'm a slave to this. You know what I'm saying? I got free from what the devil was doing, right? But I attach myself to the Lord, right? So I'm going to serve him, right? I'm going to be slave to that, to the word of God, meaning I'm going to do what it say. I'm going to try to live that life, and we're bonded by peace, peace among us. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope. What's that one hope? Anybody know? What's that one hope? That one hope is Jesus coming back. That's why we're here. That's why we got to remember, as members of the church, we have to be servant to one another because we got to get us all on that same plane. You know what I'm saying? To support each other in that hope. It's one body. It's one spirit. Everybody houses a spirit with different members, different parts of the same body. Housing the same spirit. Got it? One spirit, one body. And we're called to the one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Y'all got that? Any questions so far? Look, I'm going to read something for you. This book, he did a survey. And I just want to read the titles because this is not about us. I'm just saying, it's not about us, right? So we ain't going to even get all into it. We're not going to get all strung out about it. So verse 36 in your book, I'm just going to read some of the titles of the survey. And this is the only part of the book I really wanted to read. Some of it I wrote down. Because the concept is pretty simple. Okay, so he did a research survey. These were churches that weren't functioning as they should. So these are some of the issues. Worship wars. Now, how could there be a worship war? How could there be a worship war in church? Aren't we all here to worship God? Not me, not the pastor, not any of you. I don't understand. But it's out there. And I thought to read it because it could still put us in check. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't be so on cruise control that we never check ourselves. You understand? All right? I try to keep it as clean as I can. Worship wars. One more faction in the church. One or more factions in the church want the music just the way they like it. I'm old school. Why they playing all that hip-hop stuff? I'm with some old school. Where the hymns at? Prolong miniature meetings. The church spent an inordinate amount of time in different meetings. Most of the meetings deal with the most inconsequential items. While the Great Commission, which is what? And what is that? The Great Commission is what? It's our mission, right? That's our mission, the Great Commission, right? That, see, and that's what we're for. We come here for, right? We come in here to get the word. Sometimes we need fixing. But the main thing is we get the word, become doers of the word. That way we can go out and tell others. We can be witnesses to the word and lead more. Come see a man. Come hear a man, right? Meaning the word of God, not necessarily our pastor, but the word of God. And so, and this one caught my eye, too. I laughed on this one, too, because we have a lot of meetings. And we need to have more meetings sometimes, right? I say it all the time, don't I? We got to meet more. We got to do this. We got to do this. But to me, it's the way we get on the same page to do what we have to do. And that's all that's saying is, okay, meetings are one thing, but if it's not about the Great Commission, if it's not about our mission, then we need to redesign it. You know what I mean? We need to refocus that little meeting, you know? All right? Facility focus. The church facility develops iconic status. Mega churches. That's what came to my mind. Where the church is so important. I had a friend I just talked to. Went to a church. Big church. They said, not one person said anything to me. Not one deacon said hello. So how would I ever join that membership, that body of believers, when they don't even know me? They never made an attempt to know me. And I don't know none of them. You know what I'm saying? It's so far away from me. It's like I just came in. I was like smoke. In and out. So that's just one thing right there. Program driven. Every church has programs, even if they don't admit it. When we start doing a ministry a certain way, it takes a programmatic status. That the problem isn't with the program. The program develops when the program becomes the end instead of the means. Same thing as we have in meetings. That's all they were saying. So these churches, evidently, they got their meetings, they got their programs, but now they're all about the programs and all about. So they're more concerned about how many we feed versus who we helped. You understand? If you can understand what I'm saying, it can be a fine line, but that's why we have to refocus ourselves. We got to check ourselves. We got to make sure it's not about us, but about serving the people, right? Serving each other. Inward-focused budget. No, we don't have that problem. We don't have that problem. We got generals keep us on tap, keep us strong. I got to admit. Right? So I'm going to leave that one alone. But see, again, and I brought these up because we don't even have to be in any of this. We could be sitting in our chair and thinking about it and cause us to lose focus or cause us to act a certain way, right? Because of what we see and what we getting ready to do some stuff with the church. Got to fix it. Oh, here we go. We spent, what? I'm just saying. Inordinate demands for pastoral care. Now, I really should leave this one alone. I really should. Cause has anybody read this one? All church members deserve care and concern, especially in times of need and crisis. Problems develop, however, when church members have unreasonable expectations for even minor matters. Some members expect the pastoral staff to visit them regularly merely because they have membership status. I've been at this church for 20 years. Now, I don't have nobody to shovel my driveway. Where is the deacons? I'm just saying. And it may be more serious. It may not be. But the point is, it's not about you. You understand? I think this church, this body of believers, does a pretty good job at going out and trying to help individuals, you know, when we know about it. I really do. And I think every person in here, at least, because y'all here, I'll say it, I think any of you will help any of us in a time of need. That's what it's all about. But we do have some people that's on demand or that have an on-demand button. You know what I'm saying? Like that easy button, they're like, I need help. I need help. I need help. I'm just saying. Because we have enough teaching, right? We have enough teaching that you guys cause me to study hard. I talk to the pastor like, yo, where'd you pull that from? You know, how'd you? I'm like, I got to come correct. I'm nervous every time I got to speak, teach, or preach. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I can't come any old kind of way. Because all of you have grown just like I have. You know what I mean? We took a step and another step. So why is it that there are people among us who act like they don't know? I tell my kids all the time, don't play stupid. That you want to see? I'm calm and cool. You want to see me flip out? Let one of my kids play the dumb role. I lose it. Don't play stupid. You know. You know how I know? I taught you. You know what I'm saying? So you can't play dumb with me. Don't do that. I didn't know. Yes, you did. So how can you be in this body of believers and play that game? It's just that. It's a game. Right? Now, I'm crossing into another path that we're going to discuss. But therein lies the hard work for us as believers, as maturing believers, who understand I'm a servant, but now I got this one. And that's the reaction I get. I got this one. You understand what I'm saying? That's where we gotta keep on praying. We gotta keep on praying. And we gotta understand, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we gotta understand what Paul just was saying to Ephesians. That's why I had that in. I'm a servant out of the grace that God showed towards me. Right? I'm not serving to you just because of you. I'm a servant to what God did for me. Right? That's why I do what I do. Right? So it can't be, because if it is, that knucklehead that's playing that game is going to piss you off. And sooner or later, you're going to flip out. You're going to be like, didn't you read the scripture? Did you hear what he said? Excuse me. I'm sorry, but can I be honest? I do it now to myself. I'll be sitting right there. And I'll be like, I say it in my head. And then I got to pray myself off the ledge. I'm just saying, it's not about us. I'm not going to make the church about my desires, my preference, what I think is right. Even in that case, I think you should know. But I can't let myself. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. It's not always coming in pious and attitude and that's my seed and this. Sometimes it's just that. I'm growing. I hear the word. I'm walking. I'm changing. I'm trying to restrict myself, constrict myself, slow down, stop. And now I see this. But at the same time, I got to realize we don't all grow the same. You know what I mean? So I have to use this very thought of making it not about me and try to serve in that sense. Okay? All right, that's all I'm saying on that. All right. Attitude of entitlement. Oh, here we go. That's the other part, the pious part, which, and you know, yeah, let me skip over there. Let me skip over there. Because look, if come Sunday you look around, I'm going to get you. Because you will see it. You will see it. But again, see, I'm using a countermeasure here because we're talking about that person shouldn't be like that. But at the same time, even if we know better, we can't allow ourselves to be like that. I'm just dropping everything. You can tell this is my study book right here. I got everything, all kinds of notes everywhere. Okay. All right, greater concern about change than the gospel. Now, we've done this. We just had this, right? We started at 10 o'clock. We used to start at 11 o'clock. Yeah, right. No, now we got 9:30 power. I mean, granted, some people don't like change. Some people don't like change. Most people don't like change. We're all creatures of habit, whether we like it or not. We are. You know, we go. I do it to Kim on our Chinese restaurant. Many times you went to the Great Wall. And I'm like, the Great Wall? I mean, I've literally had a breakdown. I'm like, the Great Wall? What's up with the China Wall? Like, they know me when I go. They know my order. Like, why we got? I'm sorry. But it's the same thing even on this thing. But it's church, right? But it's in the church, too. But here, more specifically, we can't let it be about us. That's why I said the world, yeah, it's me first, my way, all that. But here, anyway, it's the same thing. Why? Because you got people from the world come into the church. And we all dealing in the world, trying to be apart from the world. Right? Right? And that's the main thing because of the spirit that dwells within us. That's what's causing the change. But at the same time, we still go out and we deal with the same. That's why we got to get a grip on Sunday and rehearse it on Monday and reread it on Tuesday and pray about it on Wednesday and then start the process all over again. Right? Right? And the main thing when I was reading all of this, the hardest part is dealing with your own people, your own brothers and sisters in the church. The hardest part. But to me, that's where your growth, that's where I call it the Shaolin. That's where your Shaolin going to kick in. You know what I mean? When you practice it here, you walk on paper out there. It's easy to ignore stuff out there. But like when you come in here, like I said, you expect other people to at least be on the same planet as you, you know? I love Radcliffe. Radcliffe always say, what church you go to? I love that line. I love that line. Anyway, y'all got it. Okay, anger and hostility. Now, I got to say, I don't see this much in our church, but I see it at work. You just ever come across people that are just mad all the time for nothing? Well, thankfully, we don't have it here. I don't think. Anyway. An evangelistic empathy. Very few members share their faith on a regular basis. More concerned about their own needs rather than the greatest eternal needs of the world and community in which they live. And that's a hard one because we normally don't see that. But we got people who do that. And all of us could be caught up in it if you let your drama take control of you. Right? So the same thing. It's not about me. My mission is to go ye therefore, right? My mission is to serve. That's a hard part because sometimes we get caught up. I'm still looking good on time. Now I didn't even get down to what I want to break down. All right, so that was the survey. So now look, how do we get to do all of this? Like we talking about it, and I had some scriptures on it, and I read there for you to help you, but Philippians 2. Let's go there. We're going to park right here for a little bit, and we're going to finish out on this part. I done lost all my stuff. Y'all just got me excited, I'm telling you. I knew I was going to have a good time trying to talk to y'all with this. And that's the good thing to me. That's what Bible study is all about. That's why I encourage. I'm sorry that there's not a lot of people here, but this is the time. I mean, it's great coming to hear the word and listen to the word, but when you have somebody that takes the time to break something down and we can interact with it, I think that's good, you know? And we ought to encourage everybody that's not here to be here, because then they might have a question or concern, and it may not be in your thought pattern at all, you know? And if they ask you, you might say, then you go to my church, you know? Like, no. But I'm saying, but if they come, they can get it out, and it can get broken down. Because here, we got all these people who can help us, right? We can help each other, right? All right. So, Philippians. Now, I got stuck here for a while, so we're just going to read some of it. I wrote a lot of it down on your paper, but I want to read it and then talk a little bit. So we heard what he said in Ephesians. Now we're in Philippians. And Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11 is where I wanted to stay, but I'm going to read from verse 1. Okay? Okay, it says, if you have encouragement from being united with Christ, pretty self-explanatory, right? Being united with Christ, you got encouragement. If you have. Okay, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit. So basically that's it. If you came to church and got into church, all these things you got. Paul is almost being sarcastic here. You know, it's like a rhetorical question. Because he's saying, you know, if you had any fellowship, if you've been touched by his love, right? That's all he's saying. He's kind of being facetious, I guess. Right? So, if any tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. That's where we're going, right? Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. So there's nothing wrong with having your own dream, your own ambition. Don't get me twisted there. I'm not saying that. But he's saying not just your own interests, but look at others. And guess what? I'm getting ahead of myself because the scripture is talking this. But you can help yourself by helping others. If you see a need in somebody else, regardless of what your drive is, that can motivate, not just motivate, it can help your cause. Jesus, we just read, he said, if you want to be first, you must be last. You got to serve he didn't say you got to serve somebody else first. He said you got to serve all, right? That's a heavy load. It's a heavy load, because like I said, I may be cool on some things, but I got my own that I got, you know, that I see, and I'm like, oh, come on. But we got to be serving all, even that person or that person, whoever. All right. But also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So this is how we do it. This is how we do it. Membership, making it not about you is hard. Because of all the different things we touched on. But this right here, Jesus is our example, right? This this particular chapter, even this, these few verses I'm reading, is sort of an example. And this is what the author uses in the book. So, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So what is that? Who being in the very nature, God. That's enough right here. Aaron, somebody give me John 1. John 1, 1 to 4. Right? So he said, being in very nature, God. So his nature, his natural being is God. God of everything. God. God. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So he wasn't going after saying, I'm Jesus, Son of God. I'm actually the same as God. You know what I'm saying? He's not saying, disciples, look, I'm really God. He's not saying that that's giving him any kind of preference, is what I'm saying. Right? He had to show them that. He had to teach them that. But he's not saying, because of that, I'm this. Because of that, I'm not going down there for them who disobedient, who turned against you, who sin and think nothing of it, who sin and think it's cool, who sin and think it's great, who whatever against us, against you. You got it? Go ahead. Y'all got that? All that's showing is Jesus' greatness. His greatness. Which Paul was touching on with the church, with the letter to Ephesians. That 1-7. And here I'm just trying to get you to understand that how great a status Jesus had. To not come and sit down and say, you know what? I don't like this music. Or I don't like this. Or you know what? Mary, get your hair off my feet. Or the woman at the well, you did too much. I can't help you. You know who I am? You understand? If we can take in how great he is and what he's done for us, it causes us to refocus and be more tolerant, be more compassionate, be more patient with somebody else, understanding that he didn't have to do what he did. So somebody give me Romans 1, 2 to 5. Romans 1, 2 to 5. Yeah, read that. Read that. It's all green. No, that's it on the money. Something, you keep that open, because I'm going to read this and I'm going to have you read the other one if you don't mind. Y'all hear that? So that's basically what I was trying to say, but that's a little bit. Like, I don't have to hold that. You know what I'm saying? I'm that's why I gave y'all the ticket and said y'all VIPs, right? But the MVP job was to be the doorkeeper and serve. You got it? So we all want to be an MVP, but we can't keep hold of that status. Not when we're trying to serve. Not when we're trying to be members. Not when we're brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. And all that he's done for us, right? We're trying to serve under that example. That's what this is. That example. So, verse 7 says, but he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So, I mean, we all knew this, but I want us to catch it in perspective to humbling ourselves, because that's what we're talking about. Being servant, we got to humble ourselves, right? Being servant. We got to humble ourselves. So he did just that. Being God himself. Taking the form. Not just taking the form. This what gets me. Not just taking the form of Jesus, but taking the form of Jesus with a purpose. Basically, he took in the form of a sacrificial lamb. Right? So he takes the form to get to feel our pain, to get to understand who we are, what we are, what we're going through. But at the same time, to be the ultimate payment for what we've been dealing with and doing. That's really what it is, right? So now, so it's like, think about this. Could any of us do this? And it's hard because I can't imagine us being something else than what we are. But God wasn't human. He was way beyond that, taking human flesh. But let's say Russia, something like that. Or Korean in the time of Korean War, to be made Korean to feel what they feel against us, but yet be the sacrifice for them to end the war. You know what I'm saying? Like something like that. I can't even think of it because that doesn't even compare. That's the closest thing I can get to. Something like that, that if you can feel that. So not only is he coming to say, this is how they feel. This is what's going on. This is what they got to deal with. But at the same time, we're all condemned to death. And the crime is against me. And I'm here among you. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Can you wrap your mind around that? You know? I'm not from here. I'm not limited to what you are. But I'm making myself so I can understand. And then I'm going to be the sacrifice that you can't provide. That's not sufficient to what my father's need. Well, in this case, he can say to what I'm requesting. Right? We can't do it. Couldn't do it. So anyway, in that regard, if we can think about Jesus and what he did, that ought to motivate us on how we deal with each other. As members, one body, one spirit, right? With one Father. That's what that's what he's trying to get to. That's what we're trying to get to right here. Who got Romans? I'm just going to read another one. Anybody got Romans? Got Romans? Go ahead. Give me Romans 1, 2 to 5. So you see again, we're explaining his deity. We're like where he's from. You know what I mean? What God has declared him. But he took on human form, humbled himself, right? Didn't take his preference, didn't take his rights. And that's all we're trying to say. We got to be like him, take on that same mental, which is hard. But he's our example, right? He's our example. So, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, of course, and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him in the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name, every knee shall bow, and we know the rest, and every tongue confess that he is what? He is Lord. He is Lord. So, breaking it down, it's on your paper there. So, out of that scripture, what did Jesus do? He did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. He emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave. Because that's what he wanted to do. He humbled himself. And also, here, being a form of a slave. I'm not going to get into all of that, but the Bible has these, it's like layers and layers. So remember, he comes in and he's born into the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation at the time were slaves or were slaves, right? So it's a slave nation. That's all symbolic. Anyway, let's go on. I'm not going to go into that. So he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death onto the cross. Because that's what he came to do. So we likewise are to, we are to be servants, we are to be obedient. Obedient to what? The word of God. I think he just preached on that. Be doers. We are to put others first. And this one I read earlier. We are to do whatever it takes to keep the unity of our church. Right? That's why it says somewhere, if you have an argument or disagreement with somebody, you got to put your talent aside. Later on in the altar, it says, basically they're saying whatever your mission, your job, your status, your title was, lay it down and go get reconciled. Right? Take somebody with you if you have to, but fix that. That's all they're saying. Fix that. Out there is a different story. We go, you see people not speaking to each other. Sons don't speak to fathers. Fathers don't speak to sons and so on. That's ridiculous. But in here, we cannot let it be so. And when I say in here, I mean bodies of the members of the body. We can't let it be so. I heard of pastors against pastors. I heard of congregations against pastors. We have to fix that. We got to guard against that. That's all this whole chapter is about. It can't be about my preference. It can't be about our own desires. It's not about me. We have to fix it. Got to keep at your house. You see something going bad, you got to fix it. One crack could lead to a leak. One leak could lead to a flood. One flood could end up being damaged to the whole house. That simple. But we let a crack turn into that leak. We let that drip turn into a flood. We can't. At the bottom it says, you always ask first what you can do for your church. Then you will discover the joy of being last. There's something to be said. Jesus said it himself, the last shall be first. And the first last. But if we can concentrate and focus on putting others before us, it's a hard thing, humility, but you won't get left behind. You know, you won't get left behind. You know? Oh, Aaron, to give me, oh, write these down if you want to. 2 Corinthians 8:9, we didn't get into that. Timothy 3:16 and Hebrews 2:14. They were just other examples of how exalted Jesus really is. 2 Corinthians 8:9, 1 Timothy 3:16, Hebrews 2:14. So before I let you go, I'm going to hand this out to you. Because all this we just said is tough enough. We got the example. It's tough, right? It's tough. The example is Jesus Christ. And sometimes we got enough time, we got hard enough time reading about him to follow him. I'm going to leave that alone. But we got hard enough time with that. So to take on his attitude is even harder. We can't do it in our own vein, our own power. It takes the Holy Ghost power for that, right? It takes the Holy Ghost power. So, Daryl, if you don't mind, would you pray for us? But after this. So if you want to, I'm just going to pass it out. Because I already gave the example on that same page to talk about Because as you do this, this is the pledge. Did y'all see the pledge? I wrote it out. I wrote it out not because I think we need it and we need to sign for it. I wrote it out because I agree with the book that this is hard. Because as I examined myself, I said, well, I don't do that. But the example I gave, hey, I got issues with that. So I'm in the book too. You know what I'm saying? So I said, it's not about the pledge. It's about us understanding that it's not going to happen in our own power. It's not going to happen in our own power. And that goes for the same people that we read about. It's not going to happen in our own power. But guess what? That's why we're here. You know what I mean? Each one, teach one. Iron sharpens iron. How can you feel love if nobody reach out and touch you? You know what I'm saying? Who's going to be the one to reach out and touch? Who's going to be the one to whisper in somebody's ear? You know? As opposed to shouting from here, I want this, this, and this. Or complaining on the bus ride, I want this, this, and this. Who's going to be the one to say, you know what? Sit with me. Let's pray. Rehearse the scripture. I saw that you were up, but this is the scripture he said. Check this out. See, it's a powerful thing, the word. But we get distracted by the stuff. And then we complain about the stuff. But if we can slow down enough, not look at us, not look at my drama, but look at the word, and you might not even know how to apply it, but read it, pray about it. I don't know how many I got there. Now, I'm passing them out. I'm not saying you have to, but if you want to, here. Oh, so, okay. But if you want to, I'm going to get it to y'all too. We're going to sign it. But we're going to sign it because I want us to pray about it. And we're going to pray. And what I want to do is if you sign it, we're going to take it to the altar, and we're just going to put it right there. Just lay it on the, throw it on the floor. God's going to pray for us. All right? Because it's not about our power. It's about the Holy Ghost. So this is like anything else. This is like anything else. You want one? Here. I'm wrapping up. I'm right on time, right? Yeah, right on time. Look at that. Look at that. You want one? You can have one. All right. So, if you want to, fill it out. And then I want you to bring it up and just throw it up here. Because it's like anything else. And I say this all the time. We gotta go from faith to faith. And we gotta go from the faith that we know to the faith that we can't see. If you can understand what I'm saying. You know? And I found in my own walk that if I say yes and take a step, God's going to meet me. He will meet me and show me, and I'll get confirmation, and I can walk different because of that. I'm just saying. That's how it works. So I just want to give us the opportunity. That's all. I'm just trying to. It's not everybody. Not everybody going to take the challenge, but and guess what? Y'all know if you did or not, and we'll burn it up on the altar. No, nobody takes the sacrifice and picks it back up and goes, was that your dove? Did you put the dove down there? Who? The little ones there. You want me to give them one? I gave everybody else one, right? Everybody else got one? Yes, I gave one to everybody. Okay, so I'm going to ask Rev to pray for us, pray us out. And I know it should have been something we prayed in the morning, but I wanted to pray about it. I wanted to get to this point to where we see how hard it can be. I hope we explained it enough and got it out so that you could get a grip on it and pray about it. And let's see what God's going to do. I believe that God is doing something wonderful like, not beyond wonderful, like, unbelievable in the body of the believers. I believe it. I believe it's coming. I believe it's already working. I don't know how it's going to manifest itself, but we're going to know. So I just want to be a part of that. I just want to do my part. I don't want to mess nobody up. I don't want to trip nobody up. You know what I'm saying? I'm struggling enough. I know Easy Street is coming, or better days are coming. But I do walk in peace, right? I don't want to mess that up. But more so, I don't want to trip nobody else up. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in front of the Lord and he say, you did all right, but remember so-and-so? That's on you. Okay?